Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Song Gang Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real quick, before we jump into things with the guest today, some show notes if you're looking for some pro wrestling. WCWO, as usual, tonight in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hood Slam in Oakland, California. PCW Ultra in Los Angeles. 3-2-1 Battle here in our neck of the woods in Seattle. ACW in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Relance Pro in Chicago, Illinois. And FGW in Hamilton, Ohio. Tomorrow night, you have Northwest Pro in Vaughan, Washington, where you can find myself. 5CC Wrestling in Bellingham, Washington. NWP in Terre Haute, Indiana. All-Star Pro Wrestling in Shelbyville, Indiana. RPW in Joliet, Illinois. WWA in Owensboro, Kentucky. UWE in Cadillac, Michigan. WDW in Martinsburg, West Virginia. TPPW in Stafford, Texas. UPW in Rochester, New York. OTW in Lindenwood, New Jersey. CWA in Mesa, Arizona. SOAR Wrestling in Dallas, Texas. Metroplex Wrestling in Bedford, Texas. EPW in Boonville, Mississippi. And DHCW in LaGrange, Georgia. Without any further ado, I want to welcome our guest back to the program. He is very prolific in a number of promotions. He is the managed pimp extraordinaire, Mr. Y period T period Jones. Welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Mr. Fine Guy. It's really a pleasure to be back. How are you today?
Doing very well.
That's good. I'm glad to hear.
Like I said, have been very, very active in a number of promotions, and one of them having a show tomorrow, like I said, Northwest Pro in Vaughan, Washington. You are sort of the man in charge there in Vaughan. We have a brand new champion in Guerrero Azteca.
Yes, sir.
What's it been like in the last several weeks running Northwest Pro with a brand new heavyweight champion?
You know, it's been very interesting. You know, congratulations to the new champ, by the way. I'm a huge fan of his. You know, I've let him know on several occasions I appreciate his hard work. You know, our previous champion, Mr. Johnny Proof, you know, I appreciate him as well. But, you know, it was just time for the title to switch hands. And, it you know, I couldn't think of a better person for it to, you know, be around his waist than Mr. Guerrero Azteca.
Now, Guerrero Azteca won that championship at the first ever all-steel cage show held by Northwest Pro. All of the matches were inside the confines of a steel cage.
What that was my treat to the fans.
Exactly. Not so much to the wrestlers, per se. What was the feedback you were getting from both sides of the curtain on the steel cage show?
Oh, it was nothing but excitement and, like, why haven't we done this before in the past, you know. But, you know, you got to work out the logistics of everything and, you know, it just worked out perfect for us, and we got the cage in time. And I just decided, you know, instead of one match in a cage, I'm just going to put everybody in the cage. You know.
Now, we also saw something I'm sure you had a hand in helping, and that was the debut of a couple of Alaska wrestlers, that being Jerry Bishop from Kentucky via Alaska now. And Freya the Slayer from up there in the Fairbanks area. What's it like being a representative of the great state of Alaska and now seeing some of those competitors get their chance in the lower 48?
Well, I think that it's one of the greatest things in the world to be a representative of Anchorage, Alaska Pro Wrestling. And that was my goal. I told everybody in Northwest Pro, I'm going to be bringing in people from everywhere that I can, you know, and there's no greater place to start that than here in Alaska, the talent here, because they deserve to be seen. They deserve to get their shine on, you know, and that's exactly what I've been doing.
One of the other places that you are a regular here in Washington, Combat Pro Wrestling had a big show last week in Marysville, Washington. You were on hand for that, and you saw another heavyweight championship change. Your guy, CJ Edwards, losing the title in a three-way match to JB Moonshine. We also saw Officer Cooper involved in that. But can you tell us the mindset after leaving Marysville last week?
Well, my mindset is getting that championship back around CJ Edwards' waist, because I don't think the official that actually counted the three was actually fully an official. You know, she just threw herself in there, and that's nowhere even fair. You know, so I'm taking it up with the commissioners and all that stuff, and we're going to get our rematch, and we're going to get that title back. So I'm happy that JB is the champion, but I just want Mr. JB to know, do not get comfortable with that title, because we're hunting you down, sir.
There were actually two officials involved in that. Neither of them, to my knowledge, having officiated very often at all, that being Kevin Mathis, who is the special guest referee of record, and then, of course, one of the co-owners, Yvonne Siebert, jumping in there at the end, like you say. I do not believe they have an official Washington State license to officiate matches. Have you filed a formal complaint with the state of Washington?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have. But Mr. Kevin Mathis, yes, he does have one. I made sure that he had one before that match even started. So he's in the clear. It's the second official that I'm filing the complaint on.
Fair enough. Now, in addition to running the show there in Vaughan and also being the managed pimp extraordinary that you are in Combat Pro, for certain promotions, you also do color commentary, and that is a position that is not always appreciated by people involved, either within the business or those that watch it. It's a very hard job to do well. What do you like about doing commentary when you get to portray that aspect of the business?
I love the calling of the match, you know, and just being a part of the commentary table. And another reason I like to do commentary is because I'm the type of person who doesn't get comfortable in one position. You know, once you get comfortable in one position, that's where you get lost in the storm. So I try to be an all-around type of individual, and I've really come to love commentating. If I could do it a little more, I sure would.
One of the newer promotions to get into broadcasting is the NWA. They have the NWA Power on YouTube, and they run their program out of a television studio in Atlanta, broadcast it on YouTube as a streaming show. They have had a few caller commentators pass through those doors. What do you think of the NWA product, and do you feel like your commentary would lend its hand to what they're presenting?
I've always been a huge fan of NWA, and now I'm an even huger fan of NWA Power and everything that they're doing. And I do feel that I can lend them my voice, and it would fit right in, just like everybody else. It's just a matter of timing and all that good stuff. But that product, I feel that it's bringing the old school wrestling back, you know, to the light on how things supposed to be. And I love the fact that they're in a small studio. Because like I said, it brings back that old school feel to the wrestling business that has been missing for so long.
Alan, today's modern age, you don't see a lot of television studios put out professional wrestling products. It's a very different feel. It goes back to when television studios would get some of the revenue from the live shows, which made the symbiotic relationship happen between wrestling company and television station. Do you think that with the success of NWA Power, we might see a rebirth of television studios wanting to put out a wrestling product and get involved at the local level with professional wrestling?
Oh, of course. You see, right now I feel that professional wrestling, it's beginning to be hot again. You know, just like any product, sometimes you get cold and you get hot. But right now, it's the perfect time to jump on anything professional wrestling, because it's blowing up more than anybody could ever expect it to. And, you know, we're getting a different variety of wrestlers, female and male competitors on there. And it's just, all around, I think it's good to jump on this opportunity right now. If anybody's listening, y'all need to jump on this professional wrestling thing while the getting is good.
Now, also in recent times, we have seen a lot of training schools popping up. One of those, the 907 Training Academy in Alaska. JT West, the head trainer, very, very good at training quality professional wrestlers. He's very experienced, very, very good. I know you've been around the 907 training school yourself, helping out there. If people are looking for...
Yes, I'm there every weekend.
Exactly. Now, if someone is looking to get into the professional wrestling business, what do you feel the 907 training school is going to be able to give to them?
The 907 Pro Wrestling Academy is going to give them the tools that they need to get to where they need to be, you know. And that's exactly why we brought this school to Alaska, because there's a lot of talented people here. There's a lot of people who want to do this that don't know where to go. And we can give them not only the tools to learn, but we have avenues, we have different companies you can go to and spread your wings and, you know, make a name for yourself. And yes, Mr. JT West, I've been with JT West for going on 6 years now, and there is no better trainer here in Alaska whatsoever, hands down.
Now, up there in Alaska, there is one thing that I was told when I went up there that I have never encountered anywhere else in my travels, and that is the moose rule, where if a moose wanders into the venue, the show must stop until the moose decides to leave the venue. I know that I've heard stories that it occasionally happens up there in Alaska. Have you personally encountered the moose rule being enforced?
I personally haven't, but up in Fairbanks, I have encountered that there, but not here in Anchorage. But we lucked out. There was no moose walked in. I'd probably sign the moose to a contract if he actually did walk in. So, I mean, there's that.
Now, I have encountered a few Moose. In my days in wrestling, there is Moose currently with Impact Wrestling. There is Moose Morrow here in the Pacific Northwest. And there is Mickey Moose Knuckles, who is a hardcore match icon. Have you encountered any of the two-legged Moose so far in your travels?
I actually have not, but I'm actually a big fan of Moose from Impact, and, you know, someday I hope to work with him or be across the ring from him with a client of mine or something like that. I would love to, you know, rub shoulders with the guy, you know, get some information, get some knowledge, because that guy, he is a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely he is.
Yes.
Now, obviously, if a moose were to run into the building, it's going to be a little bit of a scary situation until things got calmed down and the moose left. There are any manner of scary situations at wrestling shows, be it an injury to someone, be it an ugly situation with fans, what have you. What would you say has been your scariest moment so far in your career?
My scariest moment, I mean, I really wouldn't call it a scary moment, but it was just on a fan's part. A fan got a little too tipsy and decided to jump in the ring. And, you know, I warned this individual what was going to happen if he didn't get out of my ring, and he didn't listen. So actions had to take place. And, you know, other than that, nothing. You know, everybody is pretty much on their P's and Q's at these wrestling shows. But, you know, sometimes when you get alcohol in your system, you think you're Superman. So.
That is very, very accurate.
Yeah. But, yeah, for the most part, everybody's pretty good here in Anchorage. And even in Washington, I've never encountered anything scary so far, knock on wood, you know, but. Other than that one incident, it's been pretty gravy for me.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I'm sure QT has a few questions, so I'm going to pass things to him for a bit.
All righty. I'll talk to you in just a second.
Hello, YT.
Well, hello, sir.
Welcome back. Your last time on the show was a solo effort by myself. Sign Guy was on an assignment. I think he was in Indiana. We had a one-on-one interview.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's when you started trying to make trouble between me and Freya the Slayer. I remember that interview.
I vehemently deny any intention or how would you say, effort to make any trouble between you and Flaya the Slayer.
I think we know you better than that, so yeah.
Well, I saw Flaya the Slayer in the Civic Center in Vaughan, Washington, and she had a tap-out loss to CJ Stokes. And that was just about a month ago. It was one of the more thrilling women's matches I have ever seen in Vaughan, Washington, Flaya the Slayer. Yes.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, she also is a force to be reckoned with too when she's not messing with a pimp. But other than that, people should be aware of her skills. You know, I'm very proud of her. You know, she actually got to be a part of NWA Power a few weeks ago. You know, so that's a huge accomplishment for her, and I wish her nothing but the best. Except for when she's messing with me, because then I have to take action.
You say that she had a part in NWA Power?
Yes, sir, she did. I'm very proud of her for that.
I did not hear about this. How did she do?
She did very well. She did pretty good. I'm actually waiting for it to air myself, so I can do a little bit more bragging about it. You know, because she is one of my workers for 49 states. So anytime one of my workers, male or female, gets to the next plateau, you know, a pimp has to brag about that.
Wow. Yes. She certainly enriches the stable. Yes.
Yeah, she's the Queen of the North for a reason. She just she didn't get that name because she needed a nickname. It happens to be 100% true. She is the Queen.
Wow. Well, now speaking of stables and maybe clans, the Four Horsemen consisted of Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson, and Tully Blanchard. And Kurt Hennig was also a member. My question is, do you see a Four Horsemen group forming in the PWF with perhaps Mikey Mustache having the role of Tully Blanchard?
I don't know about all that. I see Mikey as more of a solo guy, you know, and he's honestly, he's been ripping it up too. He's been impressing me every single time he gets in the ring. He gets better and better and better. You know, a lot of people like to laugh at his little porn stash or whatever have you, but that guy, he's not a joke. You know, he gets in there and he puts in work like everybody else.
Could you see Randy Zellers in the role of Ole Anderson?
I could see that. I could see Randy Zellers as more of an enforcer because of his size, somebody that you really don't want to mess with, you know, somebody you really don't want to see the serious side. You know, he's a joking, loving guy, but when he gets serious, get out of the way.
Okay. How hard do you think his forearms are? Could they be as hard as Mickey Knuckles? Randy Zellers.
I think they're a little bit harder.
Oh, okay.
I think they're a little bit harder. My man Randy Zellers, he's been through some things. So, you know, he's got all that strength in that arm. You know, you don't want to get hit with that whatsoever, not even a little bit.
He also has a reserve of mental strength. Mental.
Yeah.
I sense. Part of that comes.
Oh, yes, sir, he does.
Part of that comes from being raised in the mean streets of the Northwest. Yes.
Oh, 100%.
Yes. Okay. Well, now, YT, speaking of the 907 Pro Wrestling Academy, have you yourself got an advanced peek of the students coming in? Maybe a roster of the people that are going to pay their tuition? And have you heard of any of these young rookies before?
Well, everybody that's coming in is fairly new, and I work everybody that walks through those doors. I see them firsthand. Like I said, I'm with the 907 Pro Wrestling Academy every weekend that I'm not in Washington or doing an event or something like that. I'm right there front and center with JT West helping train and helping out with whatever I can with promo advice or, you know, character development or whatever it is. I'm right there in the trenches with JT West.
Now, will you be there on orientation day as a guest lecturer?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Of course. Where else would I be, sir? Where else would I be and what else would I be doing?
Well, that's up to speculation, yes. Speculation.
The
right
answer
now.
Is nothing. The answer is nothing. I would be doing nothing.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now, will you be flying in Guerrero Azteca as a steel cage expert? There's a certain rumor that he's going to be a lecturer on the first week. Guerrero Azteca.
It's been highly talked about. I have talked to Mr. Guerrero about coming to Alaska, but we just have to work out the logistics and all that because, you know, he is the Northwest Pro champion, so we have to make sure that everything is copacetic at Northwest Pro before he comes up to Alaska.
Okay, very good, very good. Will there be any written tests in a schoolroom setting at 907 Pro Wrestling Academy? Written test?
Not a written test, but a verbal test to see what the students are retaining and how they're just basically what they're retaining and what they need to know and how they need to get to where they need to know what they need to do in the ring.
Now, how many years has 907 Pro Wrestling Academy been in existence. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans that?
We actually, we're going on about 6 months now. We're fairly new, but JT West, like I said, he's been a trainer for going on 6 years now. So anybody that comes through there, they are getting hands down the best training in Alaska that they can find anywhere in the 907.
Wow, very good. Okay. All right. Well, YT, in the military, there's the Army Ranger training for the Army. The Air Force has their own branch of special elite forces. And, of course, the Navy has their BUDS training, which stands for Basic Underwater Demolition Team. They call them SEALs if they graduate. Now, many
right.
people that join the military, especially the Navy, they'll get on these ships out of boot camp as a regular seaman or seaman apprentice, and they don't quite take to the routine of working 15 to 16-hour days, you know, washing dishes or being mess men or doing the grunt work. Maybe they'll find themselves on the flight deck. And they'll hear about this SEAL training that only accepts the toughest, well, people who think that they're the toughest. And they, if they're cleared by their chain of command, they can get off these ships or off these Army posts and go into the specialized training. But most of them that seek a way of escaping the ships or the grunt work, say like on a military marine base, find out that this training is only for the hardcore, especially the SEALs. When during that first week, they have to run miles in the sand on the Virginia beach and then spend a massive amount of time in the water and learning how to work with other potential Navy SEALs, like lifting heavy logs. And then while they're lifting these heavy logs and stuff, they're running through the surf. Plus, they're getting very little sleep time. My question is, have you yourself encountered some wannabe wrestlers who immediately tap out and quit the academy thinking it was a lot tougher than they thought it was going to be? Like in the SEALs, they have a bell you can ring if you want to submit or tap out. Have you had any new recruits tap out in the first week of wrestling that look pretty big and tough and demeanor on the outside?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have. We had a guy come in, take two bumps, and said, I'm out of here. This is not for me. We had another guy come in, didn't even get in the ring, looked under the ring and saw what was under the ring and said, thank you, but no thank you. You know, we've had supposed world-class bodybuilders from Las Vegas come in. We had a world-class bodybuilder, I should say, won a championship, thought he was the big cheese, came in and with a chip on his little shoulder, and we put him through the ringer, and we have not heard or seen from that guy again.
Wow. It's kind of reminds me of that movie Fight Club, where they
yeah.
had that underground boxing club in I think it was the Boston area, and there was the fat kid that had to stand on the porch overnight, and I think he finally he showed that he at least on the porch said he had the stick-to-itiveness to get invited into the house. I think that
yeah.
was a scene in Fight Club. Yes.
Yes, that was a scene in Fight Club.
Wow. Okay, have you ever had any? Now I know as a wrestling manager, I've seen enough of your work where I think you know how to spot talent. But have you ever underestimated anyone? Has anyone?
Yes,
I actually
underestimated a kid named Cody in CPW when he went up against my grappling champion Jeff. I seriously underestimated that kid. He was about 2 seconds away from making my champion tap out. And I have to give that kid props because every time I see him, he's another one that gets better and better and better. I just wish he would just slow down a little bit. Other than that, the kid, he's going to be somebody. He's going to go somewhere real quick.
What are the first three wrestlers in the Northwest that remind you of Cody?
Cody, he's in a league of his own. There's really nobody that reminds me of Cody, and that's not a bad thing, you know, because, you know, there's only one Cody, and he's still fairly new in the business and everything. But really, there's really nobody out there like Cody.
Wow. Okay. Can you give us a physical description of him? Would he be like a middleweight boxer, or maybe a featherweight or cruiserweight?
I would say he would be a cruiserweight.
Oh, okay. Cruiserweight, about 180 pounds. Okay. Very interesting. Wow. All right. Well, YT, are there any truths to the rumors that you are buying a Run DMC Adidas Superstar 50th Anniversary Shoe Edition Special?
Oh, yes. That is not a rumor. That is 100% true, sir.
Oh, I thought you were going to go for the Nike Nylon Cortez, a famous brand of shoe that Nike put out in the late 70s. It was solid blue with a yellow stripe. They were also very popular. Nike Nylon Cortez.
No, I'm not really a huge fan of those shoes. Like, if I didn't get the Run DMC Jam Master J's, I would definitely have to get some Converse, because those are on my list, because I've never actually had a pair of Converse before. But now that I'm a thousandaire extraordinaire, that's going to change as well.
Oh, okay. I always thought you would go for the Puma brand. Puma.
I actually did have a pair of Pumas as a kid.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Yep, I even had the old school British Knights. I had a pair of British Knights, all that, you know, all the old school, you know, majority of the old school shoes from back in the day. I even had a pair of the John Cena pump shoes that you just pump them up. I had a pair of those for the longest time.
Wow. What do you suppose a personal autographed John Cena pump shoes could go for on eBay today? When they first came out,
it would go for a lot of money. I think it would rank right up there with the Fiend's new WWE Championship, if not a little bit higher.
Do you believe, in your opinion, do you believe that they could be about as garner as much price as a QT Vokes signed guy dual autograph Chuck Converse solid black high top? Do you think they could garner that? QT Vokes signed guy.
I think they could. I think you guys would almost be neck and neck, but I think that they would, that shoe would get just a little bit more. You know, I'm not taking anything away from you or sign guy, because you guys are some of my favorites, you know, but I just think that the fans would clamor more for the John Cena autograph shoe.
No, okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, YT, we had on Lumberzack a few shows ago, and we brought up the subject of Flapjack Norton. Now, Flapjack Norton was a wrestler that got his nickname by eating over 500 flapjacks in one sitting. My question is, how many pancakes can you yourself eat at IHOP?
You know what? I'm not really a huge pancake guy, so I'm just probably going to go with like 6 and done.
Wow, 6. Okay. Okay. Could you yourself be close to the input take, or could you challenge? Would you be a good challenge to Freya the Slayer in a pancake eating contest?
In a pancake eating contest? You know, seeing how me and her have a nice little rivalry going on, you know, I would give it my best. I would try to out-eat her at anything.
Oh, okay. And Sign Guy wanted to know what your favorite IHOP flavored syrup was.
Oh, just the regular syrup. I'm a plain Jane type of dude. I like the regular syrup. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay, maple. Plain maple.
Yes.
Okay. None of that boysenberry or strawberry.
Nah, I think that stuff is way too sweet, you know, and it overpowers the actual pancake, and you just might as well just take the syrup and just drink it out of the container if that's the case.
I see. Now, could you see any of these new signups for this 907 Pro Wrestling Academy, any of the new incoming class sneaking a pancake into the classroom for a snack?
Absolutely not. We have rules in our class. You know, you eat before you get there. That way there's nothing – there's no trash being left or whatever have you. The only thing that really you can do in class is drink water.
Oh, wow. Okay, water. Water is very important. Nothing to joke about.
Yes, water is very important. Yeah, nothing to joke about. You got to stay hydrated, you know, but you eat before you get there.
Okay. All right. Now, Whitey, you mentioned that wrestler, Cody, that at first you had a slight underestimation. Do you know if Cody can be contacted on Facebook page?
Yeah, you actually can contact him on his Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Would he be under any of your wrestling sites?
No, not in Alaska, but, you know, if you look in the Pacific Northwest, he is a part of a couple different promotions. You know, he's really putting himself out there. I'm really, like I said, I'm really proud of this kid because he's been wanting to do this for the longest time. And the minute that he turned of age, nothing's been stopping this kid.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Whitey, you in earlier talk with Sign Guy, you mentioned wrestling fans that sometimes got kind of rarely, but it does happen. They get out of hand and rush the ring and stuff, and they don't mind their P's and Q's. I looked up the original or where that saying originated, minding your P's and Q's. And it is suggested that it derived from the practice of tavern owners back in the Middle Ages, chalking up tallies of drinks in English pubs on a slate, and P's were pints and Q's were quarts. And that's how they had a tally, a computer system, if you will, of who had drank their quarts and who had drank the pints and who had paid. Minding your P's and Q's, pints and quarts.
Mm-hmm. Well, where I got P's and Q's from was from my parents. They always told me anytime I go somewhere, anytime I go with a friend, anytime I go out in public, mind your P's and Q's, which to me means just be cautious of what you say, be cautious of what you do, you know, and just be an all-around good person. Mind yourself.
Oh, yeah. Minding your P's and Q's comes in pretty handy, because if you don't, you might find yourself in a prison setting.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes.
And that is something that I will never be, because look, I'm a small dude. And yeah, not going to prison.
Yeah, you would never want to go to like Angola State Prison or Pelican Bay.
I wouldn't make it 15 minutes, I'm telling you.
That's where the prisoners get their this is a street word, they're swole on.
Yeah, swole. They do get their swole on.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to do in there but hit the gym.
That's true. That's true. And go to the commissary and get your honey buns.
Go to the commissary, get your honey buns, as long as they're not stale. And, you know, just read books and stuff. So I've been told, you know, I've never been up in there, but that's pretty much the logistics of it. You read, you work out, you eat, and you just get told what to do.
Maybe I should start handing out honey buns instead of fruit pies.
Yeah, as long as they're not stale, sir. I'm never going to let you live that down. Try to give me a stale fruit pie. And you know how much I love fruit pies.
Well, that's true, yes.
I warn everybody about your fruit pies. I'm sorry, I do.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I'll just check the expiration date from now on, yes.
No, you'll just probably change it.
That's true, too. I have my own label.
I know you. I know you.
Yes. Okay. Well, YT, at this time, I'm going to hand it back over to Sun Guy.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure speaking to you, QT.
Yes. Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Y period, T period, one of the things that separates wrestlers is the entrance. A lot of people really gravitate towards cheering or booing wrestlers based on that entrance, and it's something that not a lot of younger wrestlers may appreciate as being very important, but it sets the tone for the entire match more often than not. Whom, in your opinion, would you say on shows that you regularly attend has the best entrance to date?
Who has the best entrance to date? I want to say right now in 49th state, as far as entrances, I'm going to say Timmy Hulke, because people just gravitate to that guy. He's got a super cool entrance that he comes in. He's got his little flag over his shoulder, you know, and people just love to see him come out. You know, another guy in the Pacific Northwest that's got a pretty cool entrance is JD Mason. You know, he comes out and he hypes the people up. You know, they freaking love when JD Mason comes out as well. So those are the top two guys. If you ask me who has good entrances, it'd be JD Mason and Timmy Hulke.
Good enough. Now, one of the people with one of the more memorable entrances was Hurricane. He had, of course, the kind of superhero comic book type of entrance because there was a video screen and so forth that allowed for that to take place. He also had the stage lighting that would help his entrance. If money was no issue for the independent wrestling scene, who do you think has the potential to have the best entrance of all the independents out here right now?
As far as an individual or as far as company-wise?
Let's go with individual.
With individual, I want to say Sonico Luchador. I think that he would have an awesome entrance if the money was right and everything. That's one of my guys as well. You know, Sonico, I love him to death. I think that he would have an awesome entrance because of the mystique of him and just all of his different outfits, his masks and stuff like that. That's all they need is a video package of him coming out, or, you know, with all the lights and the fireworks and all that. I think Sonico Luchador would kill it.
One of the things in professional wrestling that wrestlers use to make their living outside of the actual wrestling itself is merchandising. We know that you have come out with a great line of products. We see the dollar bills. We see the T-shirts. We see the posters, all very high quality. Of the people that are out there right now, taking yourself out of the equation, who do you think has the strongest merchandise game going?
The strongest merchandise game? I'm going to give that to JB Moonshine, or the Moonshiners altogether, because they have a collection of things, and it just keeps going and going and going. It's just that those guys, they got their merch game down pat.
The Moonshiners had so much merchandise that at one point last year, the Young Bucks came to town to check up on what was going on.
Is that right?
That's an actual fact, yes.
I told you that their merch game is on point. You know, I'm trying to get on their level.
Now, speaking of the Moonshiners, they have had a lot of internal turmoil in that family. Paul Moonshine, the patriarch, has left them. He's become Paul Freakshine, and he now leads the Freakshine at Blue Collar Wrestling. He has disappeared from a few of the other companies where he was a regular. The Moonshiners seem to be a bit in trouble at this point. What do you know about Paul Freakshine, and what do you think of his change of ways right now?
You know, what I think what Paul Freakshine is doing right now is he is allowing his other family members to grow without him, and I think that that is a great thing. You know, he's exploring his own character. He's switching his character up, which is always a great thing because you never just want to stay stagnant. You never want to just stay the same for too long. You know, I think it's a great thing. And eventually, you know, families, they're going to fight. They're going to argue. But eventually, at the end of the day, family is what it is. And eventually, they're going to find their way back to each other one way or another.
Now, Paul is someone that at one point in time looked up to you as a peer in the managing realm of professional wrestling. Have you spoken with Paul very much since his transition to Paul Freakshine and offered maybe a little bit of advice for managing his current group of wrestlers?
You know, I have spoke to Paul Freakshine. You know, but I don't really give him any advice because I'm going to be honest with you, he's been doing this way longer than me, and he seems like he's got what he's doing down pat. You know, I can't take anything away or I can't add anything to what he is doing because he's just good at what he does. That's just, I'm going to call a spade. He's good at what he does.
Now, someone in the Moonshine family that is still very, very active and I believe still is in the good graces of Paul is Casey Carlisle, Paul's niece. She's been tearing things up all over the country. She broke in as a manager when she was starting out, and I believe she still manages people on occasion to this day. Is Casey Carlisle someone that you've also had conversations with in regards to management in wrestling?
I actually have not had the pleasure of meeting Casey, but I've heard a lot about her, and I would love to actually sit down and speak with her about, you know, what she's been doing and, you know, where she plans on going from here.
Now, if you were able to put together a Mount Rushmore of wrestling managers, whom do you think would be on that Mount Rushmore?
Like anybody?
Anybody in the history of wrestling managers.
I'm going to say Mr. Teddy Theodore R. Long because I always looked up to him. Bobby the Brain Heenan. Paul Heyman, the Doctor of Style Slick, and Classy Freddie Blassie.
How about the Grand Wizard?
The Grand Wizard? I don't really know too much about the Grand Wizard. I have just started watching some of his stuff recently, as a matter of fact, since you brought him up. But you know, eventually I could probably see him on a Mount Rushmore of managers. I know he did a lot for the wrestling business as far as like clients and stuff like that. So I'm just not too familiar with his work like I am with the rest.
Now, speaking of Slick and Classy Freddie Blassie, for a brief time, they were co-managers. They managed their group of wrestlers together until Freddie Blassie eventually retired. Is co-managing something that you have done very often so far in your career?
Actually, I've never co-managed anybody. It's either me doing it or nothing at all, pretty much. I mean, I'm not against it, but I've just never had the pleasure of co-managing anybody.
Now, when Alaska sees outside talent coming in and some of those talents have managers, do you see yourself potentially co-managing with their established management to represent them locally?
Oh, of course. I see myself working with a lot of individuals. It's just about the, like I said, it's all about the timing and what they want to do and how we're going to work this out.
Now, of course, in the history of professional wrestling in Alaska, we have seen the promotions up there join affiliated groups such as the UIWA, the AIWF, so forth, so on. Affiliations tend to run hot and cold. Sometimes they are very helpful to a company looking to establish themselves, gives them a little more credibility. Sometimes the management at the top doesn't really promote very well, so it ends up not really meaning anything in the long run. As a general rule, are you a fan of affiliated wrestling promotions, or do you think that independent companies should just go out as its own singular entity?
You know, I think that, you know, and they should go out as their own independent to establish themselves, but coexisting with other companies is also great to me as well, you know. But as far as if a company can go out and do it on their own without having to partner with anybody else, then you're doing something special, you know.
Now, obviously, as a man that gets around, you have put in a lot of travel in your wrestling career, and you continue to do so. For young wrestlers out there that want to start traveling outside of their home areas and go to different states, different regions, so forth, so on, what are some of the travel tips that you can give to a young wrestler that you have learned while in the business?
One of the things that I've learned in this business is, you know, just always have your gear with you. You know, go to as many events as possible. Help put the ring together. You know, help break down. You know, talk to the promoters, talk to the managers of those companies. Get yourself out there, because nobody is going to put yourself out there like you.
Well, we got just a few minutes left on the program today, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to our listeners, plug and promote absolutely anything and everything, social medias, the merchandise, the upcoming appearances, your favorite mechanic, floor is all yours.
Alrighty. As far as getting a hold of a pimp, you can reach me on Instagram at Mr. YT Jones 77. If you want to hit me on Twitter, you can get me at YTJones907, and on Facebook, you can just reach me at YTJones. And as far as upcoming events coming up, you know, October 26th, well, I'm sorry, that's something old. January 11th, Northwest Pro, of course, you know that, at the Key Peninsula Civic Center. February 8th, I will be at the Red Curtain Foundation for Combat Pro Wrestling. February 29th, we will be, Northwest Pro will be back at the Key Peninsula Civic Center for their event.
Y period T period. It has been a pleasure, as usual, having you back on the show. We appreciate you taking the time. I'm sure we will share a dressing room again very, very soon. Best of luck
to
you.
Oh, yes, sir.
As you continue to do great things and give the boys up there in Alaska my best.
I sure will. Thank you for having me, as always.
All right, fans, definitely of Y Period, T. Perry Jones is on a show near you. Go get yourself a ticket. He's very, very good at what he does. He does a number of things, does them all very well, so it's well worth it. And if you are thinking of getting into professional wrestling and you are up in Alaska, give the 907 Training Academy a chance. I think you'll be happy with that particular school. JT West, an excellent trainer. Y. Perry, T. Perry Jones helping out with things other than the actual wrestling. I think you will be well-versed by the time you graduate. We will be back with you on Sunday. This coming Sunday afternoon, we have the Outlaw, Rusty Livings, with us. And then 1 week from today, we continue with Northwest Pro Month with Chris Marks. So definitely join us. Get out there, support your local independents wherever they may be, and we will be back with you on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, actually, I got one more. One more. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Go for it.
May 9th at the Egan Center in Anchorage, Alaska, WrestlePro Alaska comes back to do another event. May 8th, they will be in Fairbanks, Alaska. So those May 8th and May 9th, those are going to be two major dates that you are going to want to see WrestlePro Alaska, because we have Diamond Dallas Page, we have Hornswoggle, we have Gangrel coming. We've got a lot of talent coming to Alaska between Fairbanks and Anchorage.
Absolutely. Those are going to be huge. And if they happen to need a guy with a sign, I might be available those days.
I might be able to pull something off.
If you could, that would be fantastic. I'd love to get back up there.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely get out there, support all your local independent wrestling. Those shows, Y Period, T Period, just mentioned, huge shows. They had a great success when they debuted recently, so make sure you join them for that, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, I'm excited. Yes, I'm excited. Yes, I'm excited.